Okay, everybody, it is noon on April 1st. There won't be any April Fool's jokes today. So will the clerk please call the roll?
Bob?
Here.
Jay?
Here.
Mark?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Donna?
Excused.
Rob?
Here.
Thomas?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, we have six assembly members attending the meeting today. It's now time for a voluntary pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, next item on the agenda, item three, is I need a motion for approval of the assembly meeting minutes from March 18th.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Member Fine Walsh, I'm assuming you're in favor, but I haven't heard of you. You
yes,
must.
That's an aye from me. No opposition.
Okay, clerk, can you turn him up a little bit? I even have my hearing aids turned up, but anyway, that's approved. Next item four, amendment and approval of the meeting agenda today. I'd entertain a motion to approve the meeting minutes as presented, or agenda rather.
I would like to make an amendment if I can ask a question if possible.
Okay, let's get it on the floor with a motion and a second first, please.
Okay. Make the motion. So moved.
Second.
Okay. Member Newman.
Is it possible to add the topic of the distribution of the funds from the sale of the Wecon sale and also, well, from the Wecon sale and the potential future sale of Island Refrigeration to go to the Harbor Enterprise Fund?
Could I ask the clerk if that's possible since something like that was not on the agenda?
So you wouldn't necessarily want to make it an action item because it has not been advertised to the public. You could make it a discussion item if you wanted to talk about it, but you shouldn't take action on it because the public doesn't know. It hasn't been advertised on an agenda.
That was my thought. So we could discuss it later in the meeting and then add it to a future agenda?
Correct.
Yeah, does that sound good? Okay, if there's no other amendments to today's meeting agenda, all those in favor of proceeding like the agenda is presented to us, say aye.
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 Okay, we'll move ahead with the agenda as presented. First item, action item today is five. It's a public hearing, actually. It's on ordinance 2024-05. This is an ordinance determining that property conveyed to the borough in a tax foreclosure proceeding shall not be retained for a public purpose and shall hereafter be sold. So this is a public hearing. Is there anyone in the audience wanting to testify to this public hearing? Seeing none, is there anyone zooming in besides our assembly member?
No, there are none.
Okay. So seeing there's no interest, that public hearing is closed. Public hearing for an application to purchase borough-owned tidelands by Island Refrigeration, LLC. Brock Snyder, owner of Island Refrigeration, LLC, has filed an application to purchase a borough-owned tideland lot located on the south side of Dock Street. The legal description, a portion of Wilson Tidelands lease, plat number 2000-6, T37, parcel ID number 01010035. Any public testimony regarding this tideland purchase application should be given during this public hearing. A copy of the application is in the agenda under item 15C. The code, borough code 16.16.070, sale of tidelands, requires that at the public hearing, the applicant clearly demonstrates the benefits of sale of the subject tidelands that could not be realized through leasing, and that outright sale of a tideland as contrasted with lease of the tideland is in the borough's best interest. And I believe we will take that up actually later in the meeting. We'll have Mr. Snyder testify at that point. So is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify?
Actually, Mayor, Mr. Snyder testifies first here under this public hearing, and then the public after. If you keep reading down in the narrative.
I was reading in the ordinance, and it looked to me like it was... Okay. Anyway, is there anyone that would like to testify in this public hearing about this land sale? Mr. Snyder, please.
I'm Brock Snyder. I've got Island Refrigeration. I really appreciate all you guys' consideration of this. It's like, I know there's been a lot of thought. So I'll just reiterate. I started Island Refrigeration in 2021 in September, and we started out in the little red barn behind Piston and Rudder in that floating shop, and that we've outgrown that, and then we moved out to 271 Metcalf to the old Hammer Marine building, and we've filled that, and I've invested everything I have into that business, and just so trying to become part of the infrastructure of our fleet. And as we all know, like, land is very hard to find and very expensive, but this will just be a tremendous help to us, first of all, so we don't have to commute back and forth. We can gain efficiency where we don't have to drive back and forth and consume all that time, and that can reduce the cost to the fishermen and increase what we're able to get done. And currently I'm paying $5,100 a month in rent, and it's just going away. I don't have any way to control how a building has changed because it's not mine. So just being able to have the liberty to build what we need to build and change what we need to change when we need to change it to pivot to support the fleet. That's crucial to our future. And also just this, it's very difficult to get a good loan. I've only been able to find a couple courses where if I leased the land, I don't have any equity. So I've injected everything into my inventory, and my inventory doesn't have very good value for collateral. So the land, if I were to purchase it, would become immediately collateral for itself. And then I could invest in it and build equity. And that's what I desperately need. It's like we have the tools we need, but we don't have ballast. So, but as far as benefits that this would give, I hope that I've tried to get with each one of you just to see what we're doing, and that you can see that what we're doing is 100% catered to this community and to our fleet and its success. And we're supporting and maintaining a valuable part of every single boat in the fleet, as well as drawing other people to Petersburg. And boats from Bellingham and Kodiak and Seward and Cordova and Juneau and Ketchikan and Craig and Sitka. We're bringing people in from everywhere, and that bolsters our whole economy. It helps Piston and Rudder. It helps Napa. It helps Hammer and Weekon. It helps everyone. And So the sales and the revenue that brings to town, as well as just like we're using the drive down. There was a moment in this spring where we had four boats that we were all working on at the drive down. We had the thing full and using that. That's an awesome piece of equipment out there to have. But I just hope that if there's any question if we're bringing revenue to town, I'd be open for any questions regarding that. I'm not a public speaker, so I appreciate all of your consideration. I really hope that this could be considered a valuable step to take forward. I know there's risk in this, but Boy, I know what risk is. We've poured everything out. So anyway, I just hope that just a wise decision could be made. And I just hope that that's all I have. So thank you.
Okay, thank you for your input. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify during this public hearing? State your name and who you represent, please.
I'm not a public speaker either, so. I'm Casey Knight. I'm a member of the Harbor Board, but I'm speaking for myself. I have three related points to make about this, or opinions to express. First point. On February 21st, the Harbor Board held a meeting where one of the main goals was to attempt to clarify the conditions under which a tidelands lot might be sold instead of being leased. In the work session involving the Assembly and the Harbor Board held earlier in February, members of the Assembly appeared to coalesce around the idea that this issue, needs to be revisited. The Harbor Board did come to an agreement about this, which would change in a few significant ways the section of borough code pertaining to the sale of tidelands. However, at that meeting, we did decide to table Island Refrigeration's application. The reason is that we could not come to a decision about whether to sell the lot before first arriving at a better procedure for selling tidelands lots. And we didn't know where the Assembly would land on that issue. In my mind, to decide to sell without having an ironed out procedure would put the cart before the horse. It's almost like shaking hands to sell something without first arriving at a price. Okay, second point. One of the most significant changes that we arrived at would be to change the sale price to be not less than assessed value, from that to not less than appraised value. That was one of the changes. The appraised value of the lot is $414,000, apparently, and the assessed value is, as far as I can tell on the website, there is $237,000. So there's a big difference there. I'm not sure which way the Assembly is leaning on that issue, but either way you lean, I respectfully encourage the Assembly to adopt an official budgeting policy of routing the proceeds from the sale of tidelands parcels and any parcels from which the harbor receives lease revenue to the Harbor Enterprise Fund. I also respectfully request that the proceeds from the prior sale of the Weekend Enterprises land be routed to the Harbor Enterprise Fund. At the February 21st Harbor Board meeting, these two requests were turned into recommendations in our first order of new business. Third point, and believe it or not, this isn't in contradiction to the first point. All that being said, I do believe that the application submitted by Island Refrigeration is a good candidate for satisfying the conditions under which it would be appropriate to sell currently leased tidelands. But I also think it'd be preferable to avoid any confusion about this by revisiting the Harbor Board's recommendations on this issue. I invite the Assembly to please take a look at the upshots of that February 21st Harbor Board meeting. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to testify to this or under this public hearing?
Hello, Harbor Master Glo Wallen, and under the public testimony, I'd like to speak to this as well. I am, as staff, 100% in support of Brock and Island Refrigeration and all that he's doing for our community. And however we can make this work for him, I think is a good starting point. So I appreciate that. But there are some big questions left, I believe, that have been not discussed and probably need to iron those out before, you know, lending official support. Where is the Assembly on this idea of the marine industrial overlay? We talked about that. The idea was hatched at the work session. The Harbor Board met for 4 hours. Liz wrote up a nice idea. I reviewed it, sent it to the Harbor Board chair, and the last I heard it was at the attorney's desk, so I'm not sure where that is, and have the Assembly got a chance to weigh in and take a look at that. If that was in place, I think that's really favorable as an insurance that this port area remains marine industrial. Also would like to look at the application versus the appraisal. I think we need to include a partial identified as 01008242 2, plat number 64-176. It's roughly 4,000 square feet right behind the Coast Guard, and would bring the price up, if we're using the appraisal price per square feet, about $56,000 to the requested amount. And I say that because I looked at his application and where he's got some drawings on. It includes that. So just make sure that we're talking about apples and apples. Also talking about the maintenance of the driveway. Chris weighed in as Public Works Director that, you know, it's probably worth considering that that isn't a borough responsibility anymore, taking the driveway out of that equation of that chunk, the piece of property that goes between the Coast Guard and Weekons. Who's going to plow it? Who's going to fill the potholes? Those kind of things. And then to be clear, that the assumption is that we get the appraised value versus the assessed value, just making sure that that is that that's what you would sell it for, because this is very valuable hunk of borough property, and I hope that you do the public the service of getting the most you can out of it. And then finally, but Shirley, where does that money go? The $400,000 or $500,000 that could be realized from the sale could do a lot for the Harbor Enterprise to take it and develop another piece of property for benefit to the community, whether it's up in the Middle Harbor, you know, adding square footage for parking lot where we know we desperately need some development up there, or at least to make up for lost income. It could be, you know, squirreled away in that Harbor Enterprise Fund for and live off the interest like we do, we have a habit of doing here in Petersburg. And to offset the original development costs that the Harbor Enterprise incurred when we originally developed it. So those are the big things. You know, I think this is really exciting to see young people, you know, looking towards planning for the future. And like I've said before, this particular business has my support because it is putting Petersburg on the map in the industrial, the marine industrial world. And if you were entertaining selling it to something non-marine industrial or going up for auction or something like that, and there might be, you know, somebody else interested that wouldn't do this, then yeah, I probably wouldn't support it. So anyway, that's what I have to say. Thank you.
For your testimony. Anyone else in the audience like to participate in this public hearing today? Okay, seeing none, that public hearing is closed. We're now on to bid awards on the agenda. There are no bid awards. It brings us to item 7, which is persons to be heard related to items on today's agenda. Please state your name and who you represent. Step to the podium. 5-minute limit, so.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Almont Lindsay. I represent myself. Good afternoon. My name is Almont Lindsay. I own Lot 6, Block 2 in the Frederick Point East subdivision. I'm not sure if people realize there are two blocks in the Frederick Point East neighborhood. Block 2 is not on the beach. It is back in the woods. I don't know if you all realize I must walk through this proposed discharge of firearms area to get from my car to my property, or from my property to my car, even during hunting season and in the fog and or rain. Would you all really like to have to walk through a legal discharge of firearms area? Going to or coming from your home, I seriously doubt you would. Please, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Removing the safety guidelines that are currently in place shows an absolute disregard for human life. The government is supposed to make laws that protect the people they serve. I thought as an elected official, you have been sworn to protect and serve the people of Petersburg, not to put them in the line of fire from firearms. Homesteaders' lives matter. If you look at the area in question, you can see a shooter will either be aiming towards the direction of the private property where I must walk towards to get back to my car, or if they turn around 180 degrees, they will be aiming towards the road where my car is parked. If they shoot to the left, they'll be aiming across trails going to private property, and if they shoot to the right, they'll be aiming in the direction of trails going from the road to private property as well. This situation creates a deadly accident waiting to happen. Currently, if someone wants to hunt around the Frederick Point East neighborhood, all they have to do is walk across the street and shoot in a direction not facing the road. This is not very difficult to do. The amount of land that can be hunted on Mitkoff Island without endangering a homesteader's life is very large in comparison to the size of this neighborhood. This is Alaska. Anyone can look at a map and realize what a small area this is in relation to the surrounding area. Even if you shrink your zone to just Mitkoff Island, I have a map of Mitkoff Island. I would like to enter into the public record, if I may. Gentlemen, and I was presumably the one gentlelady that's absent today, I have no ulterior motive. The goal of my speech is to protect human life. How many people have starved so far on Mitkoff Island from not being able to hunt the Frederick Point East neighborhood? Another thing to consider is gut piles. If people are hunting, they will shoot deer. After they shoot a deer, they will gut it and leave the guts in the field. This will attract bears. A bear on a gut pile becomes a dangerous animal. A bear will not back off a gut pile, and this will create a dangerous situation for a homesteader walking to his property or to his car. There is no need to interject this hazard into someone's life. If someone gets shot in the Frederick Point East area after the six or presumably seven of you all remove the safety guidelines, the victim's blood is on your hands. You can stop this deadly accident waiting to happen today. All you have to do is say no to this. All it takes is for four of you to say to yourselves, I don't want to be responsible for a homesteader or his friends or family getting shot while walking to their camp or cars during hunting season. I don't want to have to look a mother in the eye after her son or daughter got shot by some guy who thought he heard a deer, moose, bear, wolf, or whatever. Please, just be a responsible adult. Have the courage to say no. Just say no to this deadly accident waiting to happen. When dealing with guns, it's much better to be safe than it is to be sorry.
Thank you for your testimony today.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. I have these two maps.
You can hand them to the clerk.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Anybody else in the room that would like to participate? Persons to be heard related to the items on today's agenda? Seeing none, we'll move to persons to be heard on items unrelated to today's agenda.
We have someone on the phone. Catherine Kowalski would like to speak related to the agenda.
She's calling in.
Catherine, go ahead.
Okay, Catherine.
Good afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity. For the record, my name is Catherine Kowalski, and I'm representing myself and Petersburg Rexall Drug. To begin my testimony, number one, there is a resolution on the agenda for the patient's freedom of pharmacy choice and access. Number two, I need to provide some information as to the history of pharmacy benefit managers, or more commonly referred to as PBMs, and their role in our current healthcare system and the very reason for this resolution. Pharmacy benefit managers evolved in parallel with the pharmaceutical manufacturing and health insurance industries. They have been a part of the healthcare system for decades. However, their roles have increased, and now three major PBMs control 80% of the market. These players are Express Scripts, CVS, and OptumRx. The PBM's original model was to help employers and insurers select and purchase medications for their plan. In addition to negotiating discounts with manufacturers, PBMs set terms for pharmacies that buy and dispense medications to patients. In short, they have become the dominant middleman among manufacturers, pharmacies, insurers, employers, and patients. Their power is vast and formidable. In 2018, the Alaska State Pharmacists took on a bill sponsored by Representative David Guttenberg. This bill eliminated a gag clause by the PBM. These contractual clauses prohibited pharmacists from voluntarily informing patients that the prescription medications may cost less if paid directly as a cash transaction instead of their insurance. We won that battle, passed the bill. Petersburg Rexall received the distinguished honor for the sight of that bill's signature from our former governor, Governor Walker. Needless to say, the fight continues. Our current bill, SB 121, and companion bill, House Bill 226, are critically important to pharmacies and patients to assure continuation of access to in a safe, reliable manner. The heart of this bill advocates for patient freedom of pharmacy choice and the urgent need for PBM reform. Presently, PBMs mandate where patients can get their prescriptions. The PBMs often steer patients into networks of preferred mail or specialty pharmacies. These PBMs often own these very pharmacies and drive business away from Alaska and into their very profitable, non-transparent companies. Since 2018, 25% of independent pharmacies across Alaska have been closed as a consequence of the unfair practice by the PBMs. Although we won one battle and a bill, the PBMs have found other ways to circumvent and inflict their predatory business models upon us. This issue is very serious, complicated, We have the support of the Alaska Native Health Board and all tribal associates, the Alaska Hospital and Healthcare Alliance, the Alaska Primary Care Associates, the Alaska Medical Board, the Alaska Board of Pharmacy, the Alaska National Association of Chain Pharmacies, which include Fred Meyers, Kars, Walgreens, and Costco, the Alaska Independent Pharmacists, our Alaskan Attorney General, and the National Association of Attorney Generals. Most recently, we received the support of Representative Rebecca Hemschut. She signed on as a co-sponsor to House Bill 226. I just want to express my gratitude to Assemblyman Lynn for suggesting this resolution and to the people of Petersburg who have supported this bill either through testimony or with your signatures of support. In closing, thank you, Assemblyman, for your time and your consideration. It is my sincere hope you will recognize the importance of this bill moving forward and support this resolution. I yield my time, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you for your testimony today, Mrs. Kowalski. Are there any questions? Seeing none, thanks again for your testimony. Is there anyone else calling in or in the room that would like to participate in items on today's agenda? Seeing none, now we'll go to item 8. Persons to be heard on items unrelated to today's agenda. Are there any, is there any interest in the audience? Don't see any, and nobody's calling in for this particular.
No.
Okay, thank you. That brings us to the mayor's report. There's no written mayor's report today, but I would like to personally thank the Alaska Hawaii Moose Association for holding their mid-year conference, their 79th one, and Academy of Friendship session from March 20th to March 22nd. Brought a lot of business to the hotels. HIP, Humanity and Progress, received a $2,600 check from them, and that was compiled from money from all of the moose lodges around the state. So that was it was well attended. I visited the function a few times, and it was well attended. So I think I'm sure it was a financial boon for Petersburg. And on another note, I will be out of town May 6th. I will try to zoom in. Where I will be at is marginal internet service, so if I can't get dependable service, I'll try to zoom in and just participate and let Vice Mayor Marsh or whoever run the meeting. And that's it for my report. That brings us to the manager's report, Mr. Giesbrecht. No, I guess we're not there yet.
Yeah.
You're down the list a ways. Boards, commission, and committee reports, there are none. We have two items on the consent agenda. They're both from the same business, Keto's Cave. One application is for a package store license renewal application. The other is for Keto's Cave beverage dispensary license renewal application. I'd entertain a motion to vote on both of those items at once. So I entertain a motion to approve the items on the consent agenda.
So moved.
No discussion, so all those in favor say aye. Or clerk, call the roll on this one, please.
Rob?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, the consent agenda items pass unanimously. That brings us to report of other officers, and we have a report from Mr. Hofstetter, the CEO of the Petersburg Medical Center.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Phil Hofstetter, Petersburg Medical Center, CEO. A few things of highlight. One thing I'd like to also, I didn't put in my report, but I would like to support Kate Kowalski's message about Senate Bill 121. We also support that. We also, at Petersburg Medical Center, and we, I'm a part of the Alaska Hospital Healthcare Association, which we also write a letter of support. I'd like to thank Beautiful Medical Center staff on the health fair that we had in March. It was well attended. We had over 500 community members that went to our blood draw, which is about over 2,000 blood lab tests that our staff had completed. So that was a tremendous turnout. We had 30 vendors on the day of the health fair, and there's a lot of excellent opportunity. And I think we almost had 200 community members attend during the day. So it was a very well attended health fair. Thank you to the community, also Parks and Rec, for providing that space. So, on the financial side of note is we were able to receive on our cost report approximately $1 million, which we were able to put back into our reserve. As you know, as I reported out in the last couple of years, post-COVID has been pretty challenging. And so the cost report is a true-up system, and finally be able to get a little bit of a return off of that. And that's about half of our reserve that we had used during our recovery for COVID. So things are looking more optimistic. From the new facility side, the thing that I reported out at the board meeting last week, we have a change in our owner's rep. So as the project is progressing and there's some more construction occurring, our owner's rep that I've been working with for a few years, Jay Farmwald, is not able to, be here in the community. So the goal was always to transition to a owner's rep firm that's able to meet that need. And we provided an RFP, and Arcadis is the group that's going to be providing that, which I've had experience with working with Mike Cruz, who's the senior project manager on that team. So. Working through that transition. Let's see. Specialty clinics, we're expanding some opportunities. We had Peace Health here last week, the CEO and orthopedic surgeon, and we're trying to build out some relationships with other opportunities for the community to have routine specialty clinics. So we're excited about moving some of those forward. And in addition to some of our other clinics like Derm and optometry and also our scopes. So, and that's those are the highlights. Any questions?
Any questions of Mr. Hofstetter? Thank you for your report, and I'm glad you're back safe from your small bike ride.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay, now we have a summary of the SEPA board meeting from March 14th, 2024, from Assemblymember Lynn.
Yes, thank you. Four of us here, Carl, myself, the mayor, and Member Fine Walsh attended that meeting. And these are the notes from that meeting, and I'm going to read here. SEPA ended fiscal year 2023 with a net income of $780,868 compared to $638,722 in 2022. The increase is a result of Petersburg buying more power from SEPA as a result of Crystal Lake Hydro being rebuilt, and also a low growth in Ketchikan that resulted in higher sales than anticipated in that community. Power sales to the three communities increased by about 3.5% in 2023. There has always been a focus on safety. However, 2024, SEPA transitioned to a service called the Health and Safety Institute as the agency's safety training system. To date, the online modules with accountability have been accepted by the staff and effective in continuing the safety culture that SEPA's had. The board awarded brushing and clearing contracts to Copper Ridge LLC based in Ketchikan to accomplish the next scheduled phase of the agency's vegetation management plan. The board approved contracts for the Ketchikan substation upgrade design and is hoping to include the Wrangell transformer upgrade design in the consultant's scope in the future. Both have been on the replacement and renewal plan and are critical to continued service to both Wrangell and Ketchikan. The Petersburg transformer is in good condition with plenty of capacity. SEPA applied for a $4 million grant through the Alaska Energy Authority for the TAI Third Turbine Project. The grant application made the list, and the AE recommended to the legislatures that $4 million, the full amount SEPA requested, be funded. The third turbine offers many benefits to the three communities through additional spinning inertia, additional generation capacity, and increased ability to meet peak generation requirements to the member communities. The board approved modification to the job requirements of a control systems engineer who may work remotely but also travel to Ketchikan and or the hydro sites monthly. The agency has been trying to fill the position for more than 3 years and has increased the salary and benefits three times. One applicant turned the job down after looking at housing availability. The CEO has a prospective candidate currently in mind, and the skills this individual would bring to the agency are critical to the federal energy relicensing that we're going to be doing. The TAI Third Turbine Project, substation upgrades, and more is all part of that also. The board approved a contract with Kleinschmidt Associates, Inc. to work on the TAI Lake FERC license amendment that will focus on adding the third turbine. The board discussed SEPA's investment policy and a conceptual cash policy and asked that reviews of these policies occur at the next board meeting. The CEO is reviewing a draft report on the prospects of adding solar power to the SEPA system and will provide more information to the board about how this type of energy may be integrated into the grid at the next board meeting. The TAI Lake level is in extremely good condition. As of February 28th, the lake level was 1375, which means 85% full. That is 60% above the curtailment curve. By comparison, that is 45 feet higher and 30% fuller than we were at that date last year. The lake level at Swan is also in a very healthy condition. As of February 28th, the lake was at an elevation 325 and 75% full. By comparison, this is 15% higher and 25% fuller than it was at that date last year. 2024 model predictions call for a transition from El Nino to La Nina weather patterns. The present forecast is for a change from above average oceanic temperatures starting in June to below average oceanic temperatures throughout the summer in the Northern Hemisphere. In theory, this will result in a warm, wet spring, early summer changing to a cooler, drier late summer and fall winter. Snow surveys will be conducted in April by SEPA staff, and we will have more information at that time in regard to the snowpack's health and impact to the lake levels for the spring and summer. SEPA's next board meeting will be in Wrangell on June 26th and 27th. And with that, that completes the report. Unless I open it, does Carl or the mayor or member Tyne Walsh have anything to add?
Nothing to add, Carl. Member Fine Walsh, do you have anything to add from the SEPA meeting in Ketchikan?
No, I think Member Lynn did a great job of summarizing the key points there. I will say I was really happy to attend, and it was a very interesting meeting. And I'm really excited about the future of SEPA and our community as Ketchikan and Wrangell and Petersburg are all on paths to growth. I think SEPA is going to be a really important part of that. So I'm really, really thrilled to be involved.
And I have nothing to add. Thank you, Mr. Lynn, for that. Any questions of Member Lynn? Nope, I think you pretty much covered it. Okay, now it's the manager's report. They're usually back to back. They threw me for a loop. I should have picked up on that when I so